is Lindsay McDougall on ABC Illawarra.
It is. The show's going very well. Very few disasters happening on the show thus far. It's early days. But when natural disaster strikes, the way that emergency services respond is crucial in saving lives and minimising damage. But responding to disasters is only half the solution. Preparing well and being ready will make dealing with the aftermath all the more easier. And we hear stories of dealing with the aftermath of horrible things happening overseas and here in Australia, of course. But this is one of the reasons why a new subject at the University of Wollongong has been created. The new course in disaster management has been developed by Christine Erickson to focus on the importance of understanding the complex needs of different community groups after disaster strikes. Dr. Christine Erickson is a human geographer from the University of Wollongong, and she joins me now. Good afternoon, Dr. Erickson.
Hi, Lindsay.
Okay, so tell me, how did you come to recognise there was a need for this subject?
So most of my research in the past 13-odd years that I've now been at the University of Wollongong has looked specifically at social dimensions of disasters, and a lot of that has been a focus on bushfires. So whether we were looking at people being prepared for bushfires or how people responded in the heat of the moment or how people recover in the aftermath. So there's a lot of kind of hard data that's supported the findings that then led to this new subject on disaster geographies, which looks at both the human and the social and the cultural dimensions that underpin disaster management.
So disaster management, you say, in your research, 13 years, has there been a change in the way people prepare for potential disasters or deal with the aftermath?
There's certainly been change, both in terms of how people are being encouraged to prepare, but also how people actually are prepared. So,
I'm thinking with that, you know, things like the Fires Near Me app and ways for people to stay more informed using the internet these days.
Absolutely. And we saw a lot of change happening after the 2009 Black Saturday bushfires in Victoria. That's when the different emergency services organisations in Australia really took a long, hard look at the different resources that were available at the time and whether they felt they were still adequate to the people living in at-risk areas. And they found that a lot of them were. So, like, the prepare and defend or leave early policy, which we've had in place in this country for a very long time, was found to still be relevant, but people are increasingly encouraged to leave early. And so they've created different forms of resources to kind of make people understand that the conditions we live with today in Australia are not the same as we were living with 100 years ago, both when it comes to the actual types of disasters. So the climate has changed. That means we have more high fire danger days. We have more intense and extreme fires. And they start earlier in the season and they go on for longer in the season. At the same time as people have moved around, so a lot of people since the 1960s have moved out to the rural urban interface where they're seeking a better lifestyle. They're moving out of the cities. They're trying to get peace and quiet in a distance that's still commutable to work in the city. And that means we have a lot of people who didn't grow up in the country who are now living on at-risk properties.
So would this subject be, I can see it, this subject being of interest to first responders and people volunteering for the SES and obviously people living, as you say, people who have moved to the country to these areas. But who is this subject designed for? What kind of jobs would take advantage of this subject?
Well, it's really diverse what you could use the content for. So it could be anything from people who are actually wanting to go into emergency management to people who want to be national park rangers, working with communities and the environment, and that includes firefighting. It could be humanitarian aid workers. It could be social workers. They go in and work with communities after there's been a disaster. It could be policy and future politicians who want to understand and try and make a difference in terms of how we govern and how we, the governance that goes into making sure that people are safe and how we can to help them in disaster situations.
Have you looked at, people in those jobs, or at least or policy coming out of people in those jobs, and seen weak points in the services that we use already that you would aim to take up in this course?
There's different ways of looking at it. There's always going to be room for improvement when the ground we're standing on is shifting, so to speak. So when the climate is changing and people's types of lifestyles are changing, that means that policy and procedures needs to change too. And so one of the things that we need to do is, for example, is build bigger workforces when it comes to having enough responders to go out and respond. But it's also in terms of looking at what the different policies are recommending. So there's still a confusing amount of climate change denial in this country, even though the science and the data very clearly shows that there is no confusion there. Our climate is changing, and so we need to really wake up to that.
Are you going to be looking at examples of real-life disasters and overseas disasters? I mean, with the hurricane in Puerto Rico, tsunamis in Aceh, and strategical response, political response to those disasters?
Yes, absolutely. So that's one of the silver linings of working with disasters, is that some really interesting case studies to draw on. So the Hurricane Katrina in 2005 in the US, when New Orleans was flooded, was a fantastic example to build on because of the way that people were impacted. We have the tsunami that you just mentioned from the 2004 in the Indian Ocean. We have like a number of bushfires in this country to draw on, and in California and the rest of the US. We also look at the ways that different subgroups of the populations are impacted. So we look at, for example, gender dimensions of disasters, how LGBTIQ communities are impacted, the role that Indigenous fire knowledge plays in current-day management practices. So there's lots of different kind of elements to tease out.
I remember reading, and this is the only research I've done on natural disasters, but Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein, and I remember stories of fishermen in Aceh returning to their homes after the tsunami ripped through their homes and discovering that land was now owned by the local hotel. So is that kind of thing something that will be covered as well, you know, sort of capitalism versus natural disasters?
Most definitely. So one of the authors that we draw on is Naomi Klein, and the way she coined disaster capitalism as a term to kind of understand how it is that politically and economically there's opportunities that arise with when a community is essentially struck off the map. Like, what are the opportunities that we can actually draw on? Unfortunately, when it comes to disaster capitalism tries to make money. It doesn't necessarily look at how people can build back better and more sustainably and with less inequality and less marginalization. And so there are some of the things that we're working with in this subject, is trying to understand whose interests are at the focus when any sort of development happens after disaster, and how are people left out of these considerations, and whose voice is not usually heard.
There you are. So Dr. Christine Erickson from the University of Wollongong, a human geographer, telling us about the new course offered from next year.
It's being taught right this moment. So together with my colleague Scott McKinnon, we are about halfway into teaching this semester, and it's really exciting. We've got a really great group of students attending. So we will be teaching it again next year, from autumn next year as well. So there will be much more excitement to come.
Well, if you listen to that and it's piqued your interest, you know where to go. Dr. Christine Erickson, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you.
Cheers.